Now, as the kids are there, you know, receiving their own instruction, let us turn to the Word of God and let us expect God to feed us, because that is what He does best, feeding us with His love, with His encouragement. So I would like to invite you to join with me in reading the Word of God together. The passage this morning is taken from John chapter 20. Yes, it's weeks after Easter, but we are going to look at people, if we have the opportunity, you know, people on whom the resurrection faith made a great impact. So we're going to turn to the person, Thomas, today. Let us read the Word of God together, starting at verse 24. Now Thomas, who was known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Let's read aloud. Loud, okay? This is the Word of God. And by reading aloud, we're actually telling God that, God, thank you for your Word, because we are chewing on it, we are meditating on it. So let's start again, verse 24. Ready? Go. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. Good. So the other disciples told him, we have been... But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my fingers where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hand? Reach out to your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because it is your desire to up our faith one level higher. We thank you, O Lord, that no matter how big or how small our faith may be, you never despise us, but rather you keep encouraging us and inviting us to come to you so you can fill us with more again. Father, we thank you for the example of Thomas today. We thank you, Father God, that you have great things in store for us. So teach us to come as little children, expecting you to do great things, new things in our lives again. For this we pray, in the powerful and precious name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Now we're going to talk about today about a guy who was out of the room when something great happened, and yet he missed it. Happened to a guy named Thomas, but most people, especially if they're not familiar with the scripture story, would know him a little bit better by his nickname, which is Doubting Thomas. That's right. But you know, later on, I hope that, you know, at the end of the message today, that you would understand why sometimes that nickname, Doubting Thomas, is a little bit unfair to Thomas. We're going to look at that later on. But let's start with talking about how Jesus responded to Thomas and what lessons there are for us today. So let's begin, you know, going back to John chapter 20, and let's start at verse 24. Now, remember that this is the background. This is what happened at that time. The disciples had been in the locked rooms. All the doors, you know, accessing the room were locked. And Jesus has come through the wall again and appeared to them. They didn't believe, this is the first time. They didn't believe that it was Jesus when they saw him. In fact, they were terrified. At that moment in time, if you go back to the early part of John chapter 20, you would find that, you know, even though the disciples were terrified about being caught, being taken, you know, to prisons by the authorities, just like the way they did to Jesus, they were, at that point in time, when Jesus first appeared to them, they were even more terrified of Jesus than they were of religious leaders and the Roman authorities. So when Jesus appeared to them in the very first time, you know, through locked doors, They were terrified. They didn't believe that it was him. They thought that they were seeing a ghost. But somehow Jesus said, you know, hey guys, it is really me, you know. See the scars? Jesus showed them his scars on his hands and on his feet. If you don't believe me, you can check me out. And they saw that. They all believed that it was Jesus. However, look at verse 24. Thomas called Didymus. Can anyone tell me the meaning of Didymus? Twins, you know. This is the only time, you know, that we were told that Thomas actually is one of two look-alike twins. Now, the Bible or the early church documentation had very little to say about this other twin brother of Thomas. So we know almost practically nothing about this twin brother, except that, you know, he has another brother called Thomas. Thomas, in verse 24, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples, when Thomas got back and say, hey, Thomas, guess what? We have seen Jesus Christ. We have seen the Lord, you know. Can you believe it? Now, where was Thomas when Jesus appeared? And why did Jesus choose to appear just when Thomas was away? You know, these are good questions. Maybe if we have the answers, they would teach us something about believing in God. However, the Bible doesn't say much about that. We just know that, you know, Thomas wasn't there the first time Jesus appeared to the disciples. But now that Thomas was back, you know, in the company of the disciples, it seems that Jesus had purposely timed his appearance to appear to the disciples again. But before he did that, listen to Thomas' response to the disciples. You know, we have seen the Lord. What did Thomas say? Unless I see the nail marks in his hand, and unless I put my fingers where the nails were, and unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. Thomas kind of, you know, give us the sense that he was a stubborn person, very pessimistic, you know. And maybe he had stopped believing in Jesus at that point in time. We do not know. But we do know that, you know, whatever the disciples were telling him, he found it almost impossible to believe. We have to understand Thomas properly here. He was not trying to be rebellious. He was not trying to stop believing in God again. The bottom line is that, you know, as a believer, as a person who followed Jesus, he was really, really hurt and disappointed and perhaps disillusioned. Thomas has put everything that he had into believing Jesus. He had also done all his best into following Jesus. But look at what happened in the last few days. Jesus is dead, buried in a tomb. And Thomas, this is how he felt inside. He felt that somehow Jesus has completely let him down. Jesus has completely disappointed him. Jesus had not done all the things that he said he would do, being the Son of God. Yes, Jesus had done some very amazing things, you know, very impressive miracles. He has said some very incredible things, maybe even outrageous things, such as, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection. Things that no one else in history has ever said to anyone. Jesus has done all these incredible things. Jesus had made a big, big impact on Thomas, and yet somehow, within the course of 3 days, over Good Fridays, every hope in Thomas was dashed. So you have to understand something about Thomas's situation, how he felt. Not that he was unwilling to believe. You know, truth is that from a certain angle, he found it not possible, not having any energy, any strength to believe. You and I have been there. So this is why Thomas was responding, you know, to the disciples by saying that unless I see the nail marks, unless I put my finger there and unless I put my hand into his side, I will not. Or simply put, you know, I would not be able. It would be impossible for me to believe in him again. How committed, how devoted was Thomas to Jesus? We would, you know, take the example of John chapter 11. Remember, this is the occasion of Lazarus died. Jesus was informed, but Jesus deliberately, you know, delayed his visit to Lazarus or to Mary and, Martha purposely for as long as 4 days. Now, Jesus has actually visited this place before. And if you look at the passage, you know, in the early part of the Gospel of John, you would find that somehow for Jesus, it was a very ugly visit for him and his disciples. During that first visit to this particular region, you know, the people were very, very nasty to Jesus. They didn't welcome him. They didn't welcome the disciples, you know. So now Jesus, having been told that Lazarus was dead, and Jesus somehow felt that, you know, he had to go and visit Martha and Mary, not only to comfort them, but because he knew that somehow God in this place that had been very hostile to them before is preparing a miracle to glorify God. So Jesus says, you know, let's go back there. Jesus' desire was to go and revisit this place, but somehow the disciples, the rest of the disciples, weren't so sure. Who wants to go back to a place when, you know, where you know that people are very hostile towards you? Maybe even, you know, picking up the stone pieces and throw them at you. You could even die. Of all the 12 disciples, only one stood up. And it wasn't John, wasn't, you know, courageous Peter. It was Thomas who said, trying to convince the rest of the gang in verse 16. Thomas, also called the twins, said to the rest of the disciples, including John and Peter, let us also go. Let us go with Jesus. You know, he has made up his mind. We know from past experience that it's going to be a rough trip. But let us go also with Jesus, that we may die with him. This was how devoted and how committed Thomas was. You know, when Jesus said, you know, if anyone wants to follow me, let him take up his cross daily, count the price, and let him not turn his back on me. Follow me. Just look forward and follow me. Thomas took Jesus seriously at his word. So he followed Jesus to the point that he said, you know, we're going to die. No doubt about it. But nevertheless, let's go with him. Let's go with him. There's no turning back. So when you look at Thomas, even though later on he was nicknamed Doubting Thomas, actually before that moment, Thomas' faith was very real, very deep, growing, maybe small, but very firm. So in verse 26, you know, here we see Jesus appearing 1 week later to Thomas, who had for that whole week struggling with what the disciples had been telling him and yet finding it impossible to believe. You know, we can sort of imagine that that whole week before Jesus appeared a second time to the disciples, Thomas actually was in a very rough, you know, situation. In verse 26, Jesus appeared 1 week later. Again, we can ask very insightful questions. Why did Jesus choose to appear 1 week later? Why not the next day? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. And what did Jesus do during that time? We have not a clue. Except that 1 week later, the disciples again was in the house. And this time, Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, let's read this together, these four words. Peace be with you. Again, peace be with you. Now, you notice that, you know, even though this is sort of the second week or the second appearance to the disciples, Jesus has already gotten into the habit of passing through locked doors and windows and walls and appearing, doing things that, you know, our physical body just, you know, find it impossible to do. And that is a glimpse. That is a glimpse of what kind of glorified body, you know, perfect body, new person, totally new person inside and out, that God is preparing for you and me in the future. And Jesus was showing the disciples and us that, you know, this is something for us to look forward to. He no longer came through doors. He just appeared in the midst of the disciples through walls and locked doors. So here again, Jesus is doing that. And Thomas was with the disciple this time. And the Bible says that, you know, Jesus turned to Thomas and say, Thomas, if you were Thomas, how would you feel? I don't know. But I think if I were Thomas, you know, I would probably feel a little bit tense, definitely. Maybe fearful. Maybe a little bit embarrassed. You know, I can't quite say that this is Jesus. I'm Thomas. I can't quite say that this is Jesus, you know, right now and here. But somehow it looks a lot like Jesus. Maybe Thomas was starting to feel a little bit embarrassed and maybe even ashamed for his, you know, absence or tiny faith before. But this is what Jesus said. Jesus turned to Thomas specifically and he said to Thomas, "Hey, Thomas, come here. You know, see my scars. See my hands here? Feel free to put your fingers in there." And then Jesus said, "Stop doubting. Stop doubting and believe." It is very interesting that Jesus did not say, "Stop doubting and start believing." Jesus knew that somehow in Thomas, somewhere in his heart, deep in the recesses, there was still a little bit of faith there. Very much challenged, damaged, but it is still there. And Jesus says, "You know, Thomas, start digging up that 1% or 0.5% of faith. Believe. Stop doubting and believe." You know, there's also another very important lesson here for all of us who want to be followers of Jesus Christ. Not just to dig up the 1% of faith or 0.5% of faith that we have and put it in the hands of God, but look at the attitudes of Jesus Christ. And this is an attitude that should characterize all believers, all followers. Jesus never condemned Thomas for having questions. Jesus never condemned Thomas for having questions. Thomas, by this point in time, had the word of the 10 disciples to chew on for a whole week. Thomas, by this time, also would have heard reports from Mary Magdalene, the first person to whom Jesus appeared, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and also other women. So a lot of people were saying that, you know, Jesus has risen from the dead. We have seen him. We have heard him speak to us. We have felt his presence. But Thomas, with all these reports and all this so-called evidence, found it impossible to believe. Thomas was a challenge for Jesus Christ. But look at how Jesus treated him. Jesus never scolded him. Was Jesus unhappy? I do not know enough to say. But all I can say is that looking at the verse itself, you know, Jesus never scolded him. Jesus never condemned Thomas. Jesus never said anything such as, you know, "Why, Thomas, you good-for-nothing Christians? You have been with me for 3 days, and I've told other people to tell you that, you know, I am alive, and look at you. What kind of Christian are you?" None of that sort from Jesus. Rather, Jesus turned to Thomas, you know, gently, lovingly, and in a very affirming manner. Thomas has challenged Jesus, and yet Jesus sort of chose to overlook that. Because Jesus knew that Thomas was a sincere person with some very sincere, real, and practical doubts. Jesus knew that Thomas was thinking that, you know, if the Lord is real, almost impossible for me to believe. But if indeed Jesus is real, I hope that he will really show himself to me, and then I'll believe him 100%. And Jesus did just that. And it is perhaps not an accident that Jesus waited a week later to show himself to the disciples. Second time to the disciples a week later, but this time it is different. Same place, the doors are still locked, except that Thomas was there. That Jesus chose this time to show himself to the disciples, but actually purposely showing himself to Thomas. And you know why Jesus chose to do it that way? Why this particular timing? I think that the bottom line is that, you know, Jesus really loves Thomas. Just like he loves you and me. And if any one of us here this morning kind of, you know, are doubting, does God still love me anymore, knowing what I've done, knowing the kind of doubts that I have, if you feel like Thomas this morning, the good news is that, you know, like Thomas, if your doubts, if your questions about God are sincere, Jesus is saying that, you know, learn from Thomas. I would never condemn you. I would never scold you. I would never despise. I would never make fun of you. I know that it's not easy. I know that it's easy. But just like the way I invited Thomas, Just like the way I spoke with Thomas, you know, do not be afraid of me. Give me all your questions. Try me, and I'll prove myself, show myself to you to be real. And you know that from the bottom of your heart, you can stop doubting again. You may not have all the answers. You may not be able to piece together the entire picture. But nevertheless, you would find that this time, it is possible for you to put all these things aside. It is possible for you to not be too concerned about having all the answers and yet believe again. Thomas was that kind of person. He was very devoted. And all of a sudden, you know, within the course of days, his faith was shattered. But Jesus came gently restoring him because he knew that, you know, Thomas, by having all these kind of questions, Thomas was not trying to test God out. God, if you're real, do this. God, if you're real, do that. You know, prove yourself to me. Like as in a scientific formula. Jesus knew that Thomas was not trying to do that at all. Jesus also knew that Thomas was not trying to bargain with God. God, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. God, if you do that again for me, I will, you know, mean it this time. Thomas wasn't bargaining with God. And Jesus knew that. And this is why Jesus was very accepting of Thomas. And he would accept each and every one of us with the same attitude. What happened to Thomas? Verse 28. He cried out to him, "My Lord and my God." Apparently, you know, Thomas didn't even need to touch the sides and the scars of Jesus. And all of a sudden, you know, with Jesus coming before him with those gentle words of invitation, he knew that it has to be Jesus himself. And his response is that, "My Lord and my God." And that too is a very important lesson for us. You see, in our relationship with Jesus, if we are to follow Jesus Christ, we can never just choose to follow him as our God. We also have to follow him as our Lord. It is not enough to have Jesus as our Savior only. That would be having half the gospel. And Jesus says, you know, he wants to be our Savior. He also wants to be our Lord. Those two comes together. And for Thomas, who knows that this is truly Jesus standing in front of him, Jesus who has resurrected, Jesus who is the God of the universe, the Lord of the universe, and now also the Lord of his life, no wonder Thomas cried out, "My Lord and my God." And now Thomas became the consecrated Thomas. No longer could we call him or nickname him Doubting Thomas. He became the Believing Thomas. The lordship of Jesus, you know, the claim of Jesus over his life is now the marching order for Thomas. And we know that Thomas meant business with God from then on. Yes, he has challenged Jesus in the most deliberate way. Of all the disciples, the 10 remaining disciples, he's the only one who resolutely, you know, refused to believe in Jesus. But now is a different story. And he meant business with God after he has seen that it is Jesus who was talking to him. Thomas, tradition tells us, answered a call from Jesus later on when the Lord of his life sent him to India to preach the Gospels. Thomas became the first disciples who traveled east of the Euphrates rivers all the way to southern India. And there we know from documentations that he preached the gospel in many places. He established churches and he ordained ministers. So today if you go to that southern part in southern India, you would find a sizable Christian community. And they can trace the start of their church all the way to first century as a result of the visit of the Apostle Thomas. Tradition tells us that, you know, Thomas was martyred for Jesus in AD 68. So in a way, looking at the whole life of Thomas, nicknaming him Doubting Thomas is a little bit unfair. He's actually the consecrated Thomas, the believing Thomas, the faithful Thomas. We can say that he was, or he is, formerly Doubting Thomas. There's a lesson here for us to learn. Jesus accepted the challenge and the questions from Thomas. But how he responded to Thomas, he never wanted Thomas to stay at that level of faith. He wanted Thomas to grow a little bit more, to go one level up. And so therefore, Thomas, knowing the desire of Jesus, responded with those words, "My Lord and my God." It is the same way that, you know, God is dealing with us today. God can accept any questions, any hurts, any doubts that we have. But he would also tell us, you know, after we have encountered him and after our faith has been restored, he would also say that, you know, look at Thomas, learn from him. Try to up your faith to the next level by holding on to the Lordship and the promises and the power of Jesus. Learn to walk again faithfully with him. Learn to surrender the rest of your life to him and learn to trust him, because now he's the sovereign Lord of your life. And that is one of the most important things we can learn from so-called doubting Thomas, how he would refuse to allow his faith to stay at that same level. He just wants to keep growing as a follower and believer of Jesus. And may we do that today, you know, because God wants to see growing Christians, he wants to see growing Christians. He wants to see growing churches. And only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we do that. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you. We thank you that as you were gentle and affirming with Thomas today, you will still be gentle and affirming with any one of us who may have doubts, who may have gone or astray from you, who may have experiences so difficult that we just find it impossible to describe or verbalize. But nevertheless, Lord, we thank you because you are here with us. So we pray, O Father God, that you would unlock those questions. You would open our hearts and you would give us faith, power to move on. Even though sometimes we may not be able to piece together everything, but it is okay, Father, as long as you take charge and as long as you give us the joy and the faith to move on. This we pray in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we come before God during the time of offering, again, this is a very good opportunity that as we put our offerings in the place, let us ask God to also take our lives, take our faiths, take everything that we have. Because like Thomas, we want to grow a little bit more in faithfulness to him.